2 Peter chapter 3. Open your Bibles, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll be reading a few verses beginning in verse 10 for our lesson this morning. We're glad you're here. As Jan mentioned, we have visitors and we're especially glad to have you with us this morning. You're always a welcome at Beulah. And as of course, there are several of our number that would like to be here that are not able to be here. And we have some in the cars that are listening. And we're glad that you're out in the parking lot listening to the services this morning. And we hope and pray that things will get better for everyone and we can feel better. It's good to be able to come together to worship God, to do so in a quiet place, a comfortable place. And we have a lot to be thankful for God's blessings on us through Jesus Christ and for the Word that He's given us to study and to learn. And in regard to the lesson this morning, if you're here and you have any questions about anything that we teach, feel free to ask me after the services, and I'll be glad to discuss it with you, because it's my desire to teach what the Bible says and to draw lessons from the Bible that are applicable to me and hopefully will be helpful to you also, because the Word of God is for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So it's good to be able to come together to sing, to praise God in our words, from our heart, with our voices in song, to be able to approach Him in prayer, knowing that He hears our prayers as His children, and that our prayers go up before Him, knowing that He already knows before we ask, but it does us good to ask, knowing that He already knows all of our needs, but it's good for us to pray for ourselves and for others, on the behalf of others, and to be able to study God's Word as we're doing now, that we may learn, we're taught to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. So studying the Word of God, whether it be two people studying or studying by ourselves or in a Bible class setting or in a sermon setting, studying the Word of God is our goal, and learning it is our goal. Then applying it to our lives by faith is our goal. And our ultimate goal then is what? Going to heaven. So all that is involved in our coming together today, because we are commanded to come together on the first day of the week. But it's not just a command for those who believe. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to meet together on the first day of the week to sing and pray and study and engage in a period of worship to God. We're here to worship Him and to do it in spirit and truth and to do the things He's asked us to do. And we know the things He's asked us to do by way of command, by way of example of the New Testament church. And if we do those things and apply those in our life, we can please Him in our worship today. So we're glad you're here. And let's read a few verses in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, where the apostle talks about the fact that as Christians, we are here living on this earth. And while we're sojourning our time here on this earth, we are looking forward to the fact that we know time's going to end. We know we're either going to die physically, or if the Lord returns before we die, we'll be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye and gathered up with Him in the air. So we look forward to knowing that there is a resurrection. There is salvation for those who serve God. And we know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and He's coming back to judge the world one day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether it be good or bad." And we're going to be judged by what? John 12, 48, "By the words that I have spoken unto you, the same will judge you the last day." So I need to understand that I'm going to be judged by the Word of God and the things I do in my body according to that Word. Am I obeying it or not? So this morning, let's think about who we are, what we're doing. And in these verses we're going to read, it talks about being diligent as Christians. Being diligent. And we're going to read these first few verses to set the thought of what Peter's saying. Well, there's a time coming when the earth's going to end. Well, our life's going to end. But being that so, we look for a better place. We look for a better place. Therefore, since we know it's coming and we know there's a better place, he says, "Be diligent so that we may be ready when he comes again to be received of him." So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So we know everything as we know it on this earth will end one day. That's God's plan. Verse 11 of 2 Peter chapter 3. "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? So Peter poses a question to me and to you and to everyone on this earth. Here it is. We know, we can see that death comes. And we know that God has promised that He's going to end time on this earth one day and Jesus is going to return. So Peter says, as Christians, he's writing to Christians, pilgrims that were scattered abroad, and he's saying, I want you to be diligent. I want you to be diligent, and I want you to be thinking about the things that you ought to be, because these things are going to be dissolved, and you need to be holy in your conduct and godliness. That means we're serving God. And when we're serving God, getting ready for the end, verse 12 says, looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord, the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So today, we need to be thankful that we're living in the comfort we live in, that we have the things that God are providing for us in this life. Food, clothing, and shelter, our health, our families, our jobs, the provisions of life, but most of all for the spiritual blessing of salvation in Jesus Christ. And in looking forward then to knowing that after this life, there's another life, and we want to be in the life in heaven, not in torment in hell. So to avoid torment and punishment, he says we need to be concerned about the way we live now and be ready when he comes again. So how is our conduct? Is to be in all holy conversation, he says. Our conduct is in holy conduct and godliness. So he talks about being ready for the day of the Lord. Then in the next few verses, he talks about being diligent in doing that. I heard a song the other day on the radio, and it might have been this morning. And it's talking about the fact that sometimes people attend services on Sunday, and we put on our Sunday clothes perhaps, and of course we should be our best at serving God, but we should be best at serving God every day, not just in worship. But it talks about the fact that sometimes people will prepare themselves for Sunday and be at services, and then Monday they're like a different person. They go to work and they leave God out of their life. They go do business and they leave God out of their life. So am I doing that? Am I putting God in my life every day? Am I serving God every day as I should? Am I honest? Am I upright? Am I fearing God and loving Him and listening to His Word and trying to be a good person every day? Well, that's what Peter's going to tell us in these next few verses, that I need to be and you need to be, and everyone needs to be diligent in obeying God, so that when the time comes for the end, we'll be ready. We'll be ready. Look at verse 14, 2 Peter chapter 3. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So let's take the next few minutes and talk about what Peter's saying to me and to you and to everyone who would want to serve God. We need to have due diligence in serving God and doing His will. He says to be diligent, to be found by Him in peace. In peace. You know, how are we going to be found by the Lord in peace? Well, we're going to be found by the Lord in peace by being right with Him, having our life right with Him. When He comes, if we're faithful, we'll be found in peace. But we also know in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, that those who are not prepared when He comes will not have peace. He talks about the fact there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, that when He comes, He's going to take vengeance on who? On those who know not God and those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when Jesus comes, there's no doubt going to be some people that are going to be found not in peace with Him and with God because they're not right with God. And I don't want to be part of those people, do you? Well, go back to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, and Jesus warns that the majority of the people who live on the earth will not be found in peace, but they'll choose the worldly life separate from God, and when He comes, they won't be ready. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for narrow is the way that leadeth to life." But now He talks about the wide gate. Do not lead, go in the wide gate, because many there be that go in thereat. So there's many that's going to follow the wide gate, that what? The wide gate leads to destruction. So the narrow way, the straight way, the narrow gate leads to what? To life. So if I want to be found in peace with Christ when He returns, I need to be walking in the light as He is in the light. I need to be in the straight and narrow way when He comes. That's how we be found in peace with Him. Because Matthew 25, 31 through 46 describes the judgment. And He says those that had done His will, those that had been faithful to Him, will hear Him say what? "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter the joys of the Lord." That's peace in knowing that we'll be with God, the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the saved, and the angels for all the ages, forever and ever, never ending. Never ending. That's a blessing. We want to be found in peace. Be diligent to be found in peace when He comes again. Because if we're not, there's going to be some turmoil. Because Matthew 25, 31 through 46 talks about the fact that those who did not do His will, those on the left, will hear Him say, "Depart from me into everlasting fire. I never knew you." Be found in peace. Be diligent. And so we're going to talk about diligence in a few minutes. If we want to be diligent, that means we're working at it. We're continually going after it. We're not giving up on it. We're concerned about it. We're involved in it to be found in peace with Him. And we do that by doing His will. And then He says that we're to be found spotless and blameless before Him. When He comes, be ready to be found spotless and blameless. Well, how am I going to be found spotless and blameless before the Lord when He comes? Understanding the Bible tells us what happens to man because God created us. He gives us life. We're born into this life, so we live in the flesh. And so we live either after the flesh or after the Spirit. So we got a choice to make. And when we're old enough to understand right from wrong, we understand that we can have our sins washed away and we become spotless by the blood of Christ. We'll never be perfect, but we can be forgiven. And that's what He's talking about. Not having a sin held against us. Not having anything to be blamed for that we haven't corrected in our life with God. But now, Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we know that all have sinned. Well, what does sin do? Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says that your sins and iniquities have separated you from God. But God's hand is not shortened that He cannot save. He sent His Son that we can be saved. So we understand there's sin, and what sin do, it separates me from God. So how can I be spotless and blameless? I can come to God in obedience. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Paul tells us that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Romans 6, 3 and 4 talks about being baptized. And when we're immersed in the waters of baptism, we understand we rise out of the baptism of the waters, that's the blood of Christ, to the believer, to rise and walk in newness of life. And what does it do? We are buried the old man of sin. We rise to walk in newness of life. And then 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, we desire the sincere miracle of the work that we may grow thereby. So, how can we be found spotless and blameless in the Lord? Well, we can believe, and we can come to God in repentance and confession and baptism, and our sins are washed away. And after that, we rise as a babe in Christ to do what? To listen to the Word of God, desire the sincere Word of God, and to grow in the Word of God, and to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that ye may know that your what? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So, this morning, when we're talking about being diligent, we need to be diligent to be found by the Lord in peace when He comes, spotless and blameless. And the good thing about that is that God has provided a way that anyone can meet those standards if they will. We've just got to be willing to submit to Him in obedience. Be diligent to be found by Him, to regard the patience of the Lord as salvation. You know, God is patient. He's long-suffering that all should come to repentance. And so, there's patience on God's part, and there needs to be patience on our part. We need to be patient in enduring trials and temptations to get through them, past them, and over them without giving in to them. Patience, getting through hard and difficult times. Patience with whatever comes our way so that we can serve God, because God is patient with us. He's giving us time right now, and we need to use the time we have because of the Lord's patience with us, so we can be found in peace and spotless and blameless. Because God not only wants all to come to repentance, but He warns us that today is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Not only does He want us to come to repentance and regard the patience of the Lord as salvation, but He helps us understand that today may be the only day we have, so if it is, we need to make things right with God, so when He comes and the resurrection comes, we'll be found in peace and spotless and blameless. And so in doing that, we can regard the patience of the Lord as salvation while we're walking. And if we do that, we'll use every day as we should, working and being diligent to try to obey God, using our time obeying God, not following the ways of the world, not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds, by serving God and following Him and doing His will, working toward that goal. Well, we need to be diligent to be found by Him, not to be carried away by the error of unprincipled men, and not to fall from your own steadfastness. What about that? So, God is telling us through Peter, the apostle who's inspired, the Holy Spirit told Peter to write these words. And so, here I am in this life living to serve God. I need to be diligent in all the things we've talked about this morning that he's mentioned in these verses. But then he says, not to be carried away by the error of unprincipled men and not to fall from your own steadfastness. Peter warns these Christians that while you're living the Christian life here on this earth, you've got your own temptations that can pull you away, and you better watch out. You've got men around you, unprincipled men, who don't listen to the principles of God, but they won't go after their own lust and their own desires and their own teaching. If you're not careful, they'll grab you away from where you're at and pull you away, and you're not going to be found spotless and blameless because you're going to listen to these guys and they're going to pull you away. You know, numerous times throughout the Bible, there's warnings about false teachers. In the Old Testament, God warned against false teachers. Jesus warned about false teachers who will come to you in sheep clothing. Paul warned about false teaching in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel, which is not another gospel, but there are those who would what? Who would pervert the gospel of Christ. And if any man teaches any other gospel than that which I have preached unto you, what? Let him be accursed. So we better be aware, because if we're not, someone can come to me and say, you know, Charles, this looks like a good idea right here. Let's just go ahead and do it, because everybody else in the world is doing it just about. It's the most popular thing going on. But I can read right here and see that God is against that, and He didn't want me doing it. But if I fall right in with Him and say, well, you and your buddies are doing it, and I'm going too, it looks like a good idea. Well, what have I done? I have fallen from my own steadfastness and been carried away by the principles of men who are not teaching the Word of God, and I'm in trouble. So where am I going to be when Jesus comes? I won't be found spotless and blameless and in peace, that's for sure. Because He done said what's going to happen to those who teach false doctrine and those who follow false doctrine. So we know the words of God are true. Let's be sure to be diligent in following the things God asks and not be carried away by the error of unprincipled men. Matter of fact, You think about unprincipled men. It was that way in the days of the Jews. It was that way even in the early days of Adam and Abraham and down through the ages. And it was that way in the day of Christ. When he lived on earth, there were Jews that were the people of God. But yet some of those Jews, some of those Pharisees and some of the Sadducees, but specifically some of the Pharisees, they had gotten to the point that they had become unprincipled in what they were teaching, because they had gotten away from the basic law of Moses, and rather than obeying the elements of the law and the basics of the law, they had got wrapped up in tradition and kind of made their own traditions, and they were looking down on their noses at people about tradition rather than the law. And so they were in trouble. And Jesus warned his followers, you know, don't follow these principles of these Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees that have fallen away. Follow the law of God. Follow the rule of law. So we need to be careful so we can be diligent not to be carried away by the era of unprincipled men. Because I tell you what, once we get caught up in error, and once we've been led the wrong way, we're going down the path of destruction, because it doesn't get any better until we go back and correct what we've done wrong. For instance, Donald Weeks is a math teacher, and I don't know very much about math. That was not one of my better subjects, although I've made a living crunching numbers for the last several years. I don't know how. But anyway, Donald tries to teach his students, and he does teach his students. And I don't know, algebra, I don't know what all he teaches. But he teaches math, mathematics. But if we teach our children that 1 plus 2 is 5, instead of 1 plus 2 is 3, and we try to tell them that it don't really matter as long as you're close, it's 3 or 4, that's close. And down the road, they don't really know what pi r square is. They don't even know how to figure a rectangle or a diagram. They don't know what a square is. They don't understand that, because they think maybe a circle is just as good as a square. It don't make any difference to them, because they've been taught that. You see, if we're taught by unprincipled people the wrong thing, and we're led to believe it, and then we try to practice it in an everyday world, what's going to happen? We're going to run into trouble, aren't we? We're going to run into trouble. The same thing with serving God. If we take the Word of God and we listen to people that have changed it, and we don't follow it and we follow them, we're going to run into trouble with God and in our daily life. Because down the road, we're going to be walking in a way that's not right. So we need to be careful about what we're doing and not be carried away by the error of unprincipled men. The next point he makes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18 is that we need to be growing in the grace, or in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Knowledge. Knowledge is good. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But growing in knowledge, we grow in knowledge. We gain what God wants us to know. We put it in our minds. And as we gain it, we're to apply it. We're to be obedient to the Word. Obedient to the Word. Obey what we learn from God. Following what God has told us. What we learn from God's will, obey it. Grow in knowledge so we can be obedient in every aspect. Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but what? He that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven." It's going to be hard for me to do the will of the Father if I don't have knowledge of what His will is. And so, he says, be diligent. This lesson this morning is for me. I need to be diligent in my life. And if it'll help you, use it in your life, because it comes from God. Be diligent. To be diligent means to put forth lots of effort. Now, people can be diligent in doing the wrong thing. Some drug dealers are diligent and not only mess their own life up, but a lot of people. But we're talking about being diligent in the knowledge of God and doing His will. That's what Peter's saying. Be diligent to be found blameless. To be found pure, to be found right when he comes. Be diligent not to let someone lead you astray. Diligent means to put forth lots of effort. Painstaking effort. It means that we're willing to pay the price of whatever it takes to stay in the straight and narrow, to do what's right, to gain knowledge, and then to obey it, that our faith is strong. It means to have real perseverance, that if someone comes to us and they're trying to sway us, or the people we work around, or the people we're friends with, perhaps are engaged in some things that in the back of our mind we know it's not right in the sight of God, but are we willing to have some perseverance and stand up for what's right and say, this is what God says? He wants us to have perseverance against trials and troubles and against false teachers so that we persevere in doing right. It means that we are earnest, that we take care in what we do. So we want to be diligent with our singing, our prayers, our sermons, our Bible class, when we break the bread and drink the fruit of the vine, when we read the Bible. Diligent to take care that we not be carried away by unprincipled men. Diligent to take care that we're not going the wrong way. Diligent to take care that we'll be found blameless and spotless when the Lord's come and hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Being diligent in doing what God asks and doing the good things He asks us to do can help us in every area of life. We've been studying Proverbs for the last quarter. I just put a few notes on the board if you want to jot them down there. Proverbs, Solomon talks about good things that come from being a good person that's listening to God. It's just that simple. Being diligent in good things can help us in many areas of life. It can help us in every area of life. And Proverbs pinpoints a lot of those areas. And it covers just about every area of life. Doing good can help us. Being diligent to make our calling and election sure is what we need to do. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Therefore, my beloved brethren, make your calling and election sure. Be diligent to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And if these things be in you and abound, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes some diligence because he says, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he is purged from his past sins. Wherefore, Peter says, diligence again. Wherefore the rather, brethren, we need to what? We need to take care, we need to be interested, we need to be concerned, we need to take diligence that we do what God asks us to do. Add these things to our life. Well, I hope the lesson this morning will help each of us. I know it's not anything new for you, and it shouldn't be if you've been studying your Bible. It's really not anything new for me. But sometimes I need to review these things in my life to help me be strong. And I hope as I share them with you that it'll help you to have a renewed focus on what diligence in doing the will of God is and what it can do for us. If you're not prepared for the Lord when He comes again, you can do so this morning. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, if you believe that He's the Son of God and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess that and be baptized, you can leave this building a child of God and serve Him faithfully then and go to heaven. If you're here this morning and maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been diligent in serving Him and you need the prayers of the brethren, we'll be glad to pray with you and for you. Barry's going to lead us in an invitation song, so if you're subject, please come at this time.